Good morning, everyone. There are a lot of factors causing sulfur deficiency problems, and this is the list. You can say, for example, increased use of sulfur-free fertilizers, less sulfur deposition from the atmosphere, greater removal by crops, and reduced use of sulfur-containing pesticides. Here is just to show the reduction of sulfur deposition. You can see the reduction was 76% from 1990 to 2014 in the national average. So it was a huge reduction, and this reduction was partially accountable for more sulfur deficiency problems we saw in crop production. In Tennessee, actually, we started sulfur research in 2007 on cotton. And we did this project for 4 years. You can see there was no response in 2007 because 2007 was extremely dry with a heavy drought stress on the crop and the yields were very low. 2008, we got a highly significant response. 2009, the response was on the edge of significance. And 2010, we didn't get a significant response because the summer of that year was very warm, was warmer than usual, and that increased the release of sulfur from soil organic matter. And because of that, the response of yields to sulfur was reduced. However, if we take the average of the 3 years with no more yields, from 2008 to 2010, there was a significant yield response, and the yield increase was about 10% with the application of 20 pounds sulfur per acre on cotton. Then in 2012, my colleague, Blake Brown, the Mellon Research Center director, did another sulfur study on cotton at Mellon. He had 2 treatments with 7 replicates, and he used the strip plots, and the plot size was about 0.5 acre per plot, so very large. What he got was a yield increase about 10% with the application of 20 pounds sulfur per acre. So his result was pretty much the same as what we got in the previous study. Even though we had those results, we thought we needed more research on sulfur because of the following reasons. First, more and more sulfur deficiency problems were observed on cotton and other crops as well in our state. And also at UT, we did not have any guidelines to correct sulfur deficiencies in cotton or in other crops. So we thought we needed more research. And the other reason for more research was related to soil sulfur testing method. At UT, we used ammonia sulfate. However, this method was not calibrated or ranked. So we just reported the numerical result without any fertilizer recommendation for sulfur. And in Tennessee, a lot of producers send out their samples to NIL at Memphis. And NIL use Medic 3 to extract sulfur along with all other nutrients. And their method was calibrated and ranked with SAFO 14 as recommendations. You can see basically this is the table they used for SAFO recommendations. So we started a new project for 3 years, from 2014 to 2016, and we did 16 set years for a 3 year period. The fields we selected had sulfur content ranging from 7 to over 20 pounds per acre, in very low to medium categories. And the soil texture was sandy to silt loam. We had like 5 different treatments with 4 replicates for each location year, and all the treatments were implemented around the cotton planting. Except sulfur applications, all other nutrients, including NPK, were applied at the same rates for all plots at each set year. Sampling and measurements, we took soil samples for basic soil properties, for soil available sulfur before the treatment and after cotton harvest, leaf sample concentration for early bloom and late bloom yields, fiber quality, and also we did the regressions among those measurements. Sulfur deficiency symptoms. These pictures were taken from a location at the Ames Plantation in 2015. You can see the sulfur deficiency was very obvious under the zero sulfur treatment. However, cotton plants under sulfur applied treatments grew normally without showing any deficiency. Temporal changes in soil sulfur. You can see in 2014, we had 5 locations and we took soil samples 2 times. One was in February and March for a selection of locations for that year. The other one was taken in May and June before the treatments. The results were very different. You can see the values for May and June were about 2 to 3 times of those in February and March. Because, you know, during that period of time frame, there was no crop grown on the field, and also the temperatures increased very quickly from February to June, and that increased the release of sulfur from soil organic matter, and thus increased soil testing sulfur values very quickly. Leaf sulfur responded to the treatments. Basically, you can say first, leaf sulfur responded more frequently at early bloom than at late bloom. Second, the degree of response was larger at early bloom compared with those at late bloom. And then yields, here we show the results of 2015. You can see we have 5 locations in total, and there were 3 locations showing significant yield response. Here you can see there is 1 melon 2, and then you go back to see the other 2, AMS1, AMS2. All those 3 responsive locations showed application of 10 pounds of sulfur was adequate for cotton to get the yield response. So 10 pounds was enough for cotton in this study. Then the correlation between these 2 So self-testing methods, basically you can say it varied significantly from location to location in this year, and also it changed from year to year. So really there was no stable correlation between these two methods. And also we looked at the sulfur concentration in the zero sulfur treatment without sulfur application. You can see out of the 16 site years, 11 of them had sulfur deficiency in the leaf samples at early bloom. However, at late bloom, only 3 locations showed sulfur deficiency in cotton leaves. Why? We thought probably, you know, there was much more vegetative growth at early bloom than at late bloom. And vegetative growth required more sulfur nutrition. So that's why we saw more sulfur deficiency in leaf at early bloom. Very simple summary of the 3-year results. The same, you can say, out of the 16 location years, leaf sulfur concentration at early bloom responded significantly to the treatments at 14 locations. Only 2 locations did not show response. At late bloom, leaf sulfur responded at 12 locations, and lint yields responded at 8 locations. And the residual soil sulfur responded at only 1 location. So here you can see leaf sulfur at early bloom responded much more frequently than lint yields, than soil sulfur after cutting harvest. This was another study my colleagues did at Mining Research Center to compare the 3 different crops. Here you can see for corn, the yield response was significant to the sulfur treatments. The yield increase was 15% to 20%, so pretty high for this study. And the application of 10 pounds of sulfur was adequate for corn. For cotton, the response was also significant, but the yield increase was only about 10%. And it seemed 20 pounds of sulfur was required to get the highest response out of cotton. For soybeans, you can say there was no significant response. So those 3 crops responded differently to the same treatments on the same fields for 3 years. So here is the summary. Sulfur rate effects on leaf sulfur was more significant at early bloom than at late bloom. Leaf sulfur was more frequently deficient at early bloom than at late bloom in the zero sulfur treatment. Application of 10 to 20 pounds of sulfur per acre increased the yields by 11 to 14% at the responsive set years. Residual soil sulfur after cutting harvest was almost not affected by sulfur application up to 40 pounds per acre. And the correlation in soil sulfur varied between the two extracting methods, MEC 3 and ammonia acetate. And corn is more sensitive than cotton, and cotton is more sensitive than soybean to soil sulfur deficiencies. Thank you.